हरिः ॐ सहना ववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। जानिता है
ओम नमो
जय महा
भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। अतो वैकव नित्यं भक्तिं ब्रह्मा मुद्दा वासुदेव भगवती कुर्वन्ति आत्मप्रसादनिम्। सर्टनली देयरफॉर सिंस द मेमोरियल ऑल ट्रांसेंडेंटलिस्ट हैव बीन रेंडरिंग devotional service to the Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, with great delight because such devotional service is enlivening to the self purport. The specialty of devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is specifically mentioned herein. Lord Sri Krishna is the Svayam Rupa personality of Godhead, and all the other forms of Godhead, beginning from Sipaladev, Sankasan, Vasudev, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, and Narayan, extending to the Purusha avataras, Guna avataras, Lila avataras, Yuga avataras, and many other thousands of manifestations of the personality of Godhead are Lord Sri Krishna's plenary persons and integrated parts. The living entities are separated parts and parcels of the personality of Godhead. And therefore, Lord Sri Krishna is the original form of Godhead, and he is the last word of the transcendence. Thus, he is more attractive to the higher transcendentalists who participate in the eternal pastimes of the Lord. In forms of the personality of Godhead, other than Sri Krishna and Baladev, there is no facility for intimate personal contact as in the transcendental pastimes of Lord at Rajabhumi. The transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna are not newly accepted, as argued by some less intelligent persons. Pastimes are eternal and are manifested in due to course of once in the day of Brahmachi, as the sun rises on the eastern horizons at the end of every 24 hours.
Yes. Well, that's interesting. Just when the sun rises, because then there's a thousand yeah, I think there's a thousand cycles, right? And so then 500 would be noon, 250 would be like breakfast. So that means, yeah, so then 125, yeah, so it's just after the sun, just after the sun has come up. That's interesting. I've never heard that where I've mentioned it specifically when that time falls. Yeah. So then he's pointing out, as they've been from time immemorial, they've been serving the Lord. Means the jivas, they've been serving, and by serving, then they become perfect. So this is, and we have the jivas in the spiritual world that they from time immemorial been serving. So those who have from time immemorial who've taken up the service, and those who are already in the service, then, you know, this has always been going on. It's the standard thing. It's not some, you know, as Prabhupada pointed out, as some foolish people think that it's something new. That, okay, yeah, it's a new thing. It's different. Before that, we had, you know, other aspects. No, this is the original. And so, and he points out that, you know, and so then Krishna, he is the Swayam Rupa, and all others are his expansions, even starting with Baladev, so, or Balaram, then the Chaturvyuha, Sankarshan Prajumna Aniruddha Vasudev, Mahanarayan, then, you know, all their expansions in Vaikuntha, and then the Purusha avatars in the material world, and then, or, you know, not in the material world, but in the Mahatattva, and then the, all the expansions, the Swamsa avatars and that of the Lord, after that, and then the Vibhinamsas, you know, the Jivas. So all these aspects are all expanding from Krishna. Krishna is the origin of them all. And as I said, other than Krishna and Balaram, that's only in those expansions, only in Krishna and his first expansion is Balaram. Well, then you find the Braj pastimes and that intimacy. Other than them, then when they go to Dwarka, then there'll be a little bit less. It'll have that mix of the majesty, you know, that'll be there, the opulence. So it won't have that same aspect of sweetness. And then when you have the expansion of the second Chaturvyuha, then, you know, it'll be more majesty, more of a Vaikuntha kind of element. But then when you have expanding from them, from Sankarshan, again, out into Vaikuntha, the 24 Vaikuntha Murtis, then it's fully a aspect of majesty. So this wonderfulness that's there in serving Krishna, the person, you know, that's why it mentions the ultimate manifestation means the not those who are serving Brahman or Paramatma, but those who are serving Bhagavan. Then that position, that kind of situation, that then is the, you know, very, very special. And that's what then Srimad Bhagavatam is bringing out. Otherwise, it's not seen as much. And the others, generally, it'll talk about, you know, Vaikuntha and the Supreme. Basically, they take it up to Parampadam, you know, up to Mahanarayan. They don't go past that. Because past that then means below that, then we have Krishna and Balaram in Dwarka, but in the second expansion of the Chaturvyuha. So this will be more of a Vaikuntha mood. And so those who are, you know, worshipping Mahanarayan, then he's expanded from there. So then they'll take it there. And also then the Vrindavan pastimes, then they'll be expanded from there. So even though they'll have the aspects of Vrindavan, you know, it'll be that setting and that kind of the basic pastimes, but it still has a touch of opulence to it, like that. Not as much as Dwarka, but it'll have some. But, but it's only what's above Parampadam. Then the Chaturvyuha that's there directly expanding from Krishna. Then you see has that strong connection with Vrindavan. And it's about, you know, because Krishna went to Mathura and that. And so you have the interaction between them and the Brajavasis and like that. And so that aspect, you know, will be closer. It'll be Dwarka, but, you know, or Mathura, but leaning towards Vrindavan. While that's the first Chaturvyuha. The second Chaturvyuha that expands from Mahanarayan, then that will have the majesty. Will be more, it'll lean towards Vaikuntha. So what Prabhupada's pointing out is that Krishna and his first expansion, Balaram, then that Vrindavan, you'll only get with them. You won't get anywhere else like that. So that's the speciality. And that's only once in a day of Brahma, you know, at the sunrise. That's only at that time that it comes up. All the rest of the time, then you're dealing with an expansion of Narayan, of Kiradaksha Vishnu, like that. And so, you know, the pastimes are basically there. It's enough that you'll recognize. So when those from the Madhvas or the Shris are talking about Krishna and Vrindavan and appreciating it, then they're talking about the expansion from the second you know, expanding from Mahanarayan. So what's above, then that's what's expanding from Krishna. So that's what's never been given before. Like that. Any questions on this or? No. Okay. Yes, Mataji.
Maharaj, I accept my conversation. So is it that only the form of pastimes is, I mean, it's only the mood is different in the Vaikuntha Vrindavan and the Raja Vrindavan, or is there also the forms of pastimes different there? Those?
Well, Vaikuntha, then it's not human pastimes. Goloka, the planet Goloka, there it's all human pastimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But when you expand out of that into Vaikuntha, then it's not human pastimes, it's God pastimes, godly pastimes. So everyone there has the four arms and, you know, they look like, you know, I mentioned, you know, the Vaikuntha mood, the crowns and ornaments and everything like that. So it's godly, you know, like that. That will be there. So only in Goloka, then you have the human pastimes where you have the two-arm form and they're doing things as if they're humans rather than as if they're God. Right, and so you know, it's in Dwarka. It's known he's God, but at the same time, it's not the necessarily the prominent feature. If he does something very godly, then yes, they fall into that kind of mood. But if not, then they you know, all the five rasas are there, and you know, they all interact based on those five rasas. You know, in you know, it means fully manifest, you know, 16,108 wives. And then, you know, all the seniors will see in the parental kind of Ras, you know, then the friends and this and that. It'll come down. But even in, you see, in Ram's pastimes, then the conjugal Ras is only Sita Devi, you know, mm-hmm. like that. And then the parental that you have, you know, is quite wide. Friends will be, you know, there, but not as much. As you see, it'll mainly be servants, servitorship, that becomes the prominent there. All five are there, but the main will be servitorship. What you see is the best devotee, you know, like Hanuman, he's a servant. But in Dwarka, then the you know, best devotee is Uddhava, you know, so in friendship, like that. So that's the, that you'll see that kind of a difference. Because there's always a connection back to Vrindavan. They all know he has a connection to Vrindavan in Goloka. It's just that what is the flavor of, there's more, if there's a mix of the majesty in that, in, you know, from the second Chaturvyuha, then even Vrindavan has a mix of that. It's Vrindavan pastimes, but the opulence is there. Like Radharani will go to the Rasa dance in a swan airplane with all of her assistants. Right, and so then that's different than when they in Braj they walk. You know, they don't have things like swan airplanes and, you know, they, yeah, that kind of aspect. So we'll have a bit more. You know, it'd be like Vrindavan with a touch of opulence to it. I mean, Vrindavan's the most opulent, but it just appears as it's just a simple village. Means the Kalpa Vriksha tree can give any opulence, but the Brajbasis will only take from it just some fruit, or the cows, the Surabhi cows, they can give anything, but the Brajbasis just take milk because they don't have any interest in anything else. So even though it's the most opulence, means one particle of dust from Vrindavan is all the opulence of Vaikuntha expands. Right, and so it's way more opulent, but no one's interested in the mood of opulence, so therefore it takes a background, and it's mm-hmm. just the simpleness of the things. Like you see, they'll have in Vrindavan. There's means the regular trees. They have trees that are jewels. The leaves are emeralds. You know, the fruits are rubies. Like this, and you know, and they'll be made out of crystal. Mm. But they're just one of the trees, It's not like, wow, check this out. You just tell, it's just they're there. But it's like nobody's worried about it. Does that make sense? So that kind of aspect is that there'll be a slightly different aspect of flavor. So that's why it's important, the aspect of appreciating that what Lord Chaitanya is giving, that's unique. Only once in a day of Brahma that will be available. The other 999 appearances of Krishna then will have that element of Aishwarya to it. Because then you're, like you said, then you're dealing with the second Chaturvyuha. You're not dealing with the first Chaturvyuha.
So these rasas are still there, but they are just like more in a that majesty is.
Yes. Well, it's just like in Dwarka, the conjugal rasa is there, but there's more majesty, right? It'll have more majesty, and it'll have the aspect of the Swakya instead of Parakya. So then, in these lower Goloka, then Vrindavan there, it will still have that aspect of the Parakya, but it'll have a touch more formality and everything like that. Because for most people, it seems to be for most, individuals, they're more comfortable with that little bit of formality, because that aspect, you're dealing with God, and so they're comfortable with that. Also, you don't have the aspect of what do you call? You don't have the aspect of from what I can understand, the separation, the viraha, like that. Or it doesn't have the intensity. Like the Nimbarkas, they're just not, they just say it doesn't exist. There's a perception that it's there, and they give the example of in Prema Sarovar. Then Radha and Krishna are sitting there, surrounded by all their associates, and a bee comes, a bumblebee, because all the flowers and that. And starts buzzing around Radharani's face, so then she gets scared. So then, you can see it's time that you have to get rid of. So then, one of the gopis will step forward, or someone like Lalita, and they'll move the bumblebee away. And when the bumblebee's gone, then she said, "Madhusudan is gone," right? Because Madhu is, that means the bees. So she somehow or another took it, though she's sitting next to Krishna, but she's not looking at Krishna. She takes it that Krishna's gone. So she falls into the mood of separation, right? And then in that mood, then she starts crying. And then Krishna, seeing this, he falls into that mood and he starts crying. So they're both feeling the separation from each other, though they're sitting right next to each other. So even though Radha and Krishna may be feeling that aspect of separation, they're technically not separate because they're sitting next to each other. So all the devotees that are there at Prema Sarovar, they can see that they're together, but they're feeling that mood of separation. Does that make sense? So in other words, it's easier. It's not as intense. Does that make sense? It's not as intense. And so, for them, that's how they define the separation, that they're actually always together, but sometimes they think they're not. A situation comes up where they'll have that. So everyone gets to taste kind of that mood that Radha and Krishna are feeling, separation, but they themselves don't experience it. They experience that they're experiencing, but they can see. Does that make sense? Means it's like, if it is gone, then you feel it like they're feeling, and that. But here's their feeling, but you're seeing, no, actually, they're together. But their love is so great that just that moment they can't see each other, don't, then they feel that separation. So you appreciate the intensity of their love that is greater than than the other devotees. In other words, Radharani's affection for Krishna and Krishna's for Radharani is greater than anybody else has for Krishna, Krishna for them. And so they're able to appreciate all that and the intensity that they're feeling. But it'll also be a shorter, you know, term, because at some point then it'll be pointed out that, you know, Krishna's there, Radharani's there, and then they feel again together. Right? So that kind of aspect is there. So therefore it has that element of the tattva to it. Does that make sense? So it's not just straight the rasa and then the science of the rasa, but it actually has a little bit of the tattva. So that's the point with the majesty, is it has the opulence because he is God. It may be that you don't have as much awe and reverence, so therefore you can manifest all the five rasas. Because if God is God, who can be friends? Who can be a parent? Right? He's God. There's no origin. And, you know, his internal potency, Lakshmi, is the conjugal. Everybody else is servant. So, but as you reduce that, then you can start to have the five, you know, so we see, you know, with Ramachandra, all five are there, but they're not, the conjugal is not as expanded because, you know, he's tasting, in other words, in Vrindavan, you're tasting separation in Parakya. Ramachandra is tasting separation in Swakya. Right, that intensity. And so these kind of the differences are there in flavors. That's why we're very careful to stick to our acharyas and not take on anybody else's mood. Right? You know, even you get something from somewhere, you don't take on the mood. Just like let's say you want to do traveling sankirtan, so then you go around and, you know, you read up on line and you go around to all the dealers and check out the different kinds of vans that they have, and, you know, try take them for a drive and see what's inside and how it is, and, you know, like that, what would be the best for this for the traveling sankirtan. So at one point you find which one you want, you buy that one, right? And then the boys set it up for sankirtan. But does that mean that now, because we're using, you know, this particular bus, now we take on that mood? You know, we bought a Renault bus, and so therefore now all the boys start speaking in a French accent, and, you know, instead of Khichdi, they're cooking crepes. You know, no, it doesn't happen. So we don't take that on. So that's the point of Yukta Vairagya. It's been connected to Krishna, and there's no attachment. Therefore, we don't get distracted, right? That's what we see in this kind of modern thing, that, you know, that you end up with the aspect of people are talking about, you know, we discussed before the unity and diversity, but then they're attached to the diversity. The particular diversity that they have, they're attached to that, and they want to make distinction which one's better than the other. Right? And so like that, then they'll discern. You know, it's just like you have whatever it is. Like, okay, if you're going to take the Anglo-Saxons, then the Americans think they're the best, then the Brits, then the Aussies, right? You take the British, they're the original Anglo-Saxons, so of course they're the best. You know, like that. Okay, the Americans have something, they're big in that, but the Aussies are a little closer to them because they still accept the Queen kind of as a figurehead and things like that. And the Aussies, then they think that everybody else, they're too puffed up and this and that, and into, they're not just down to earth, so then they're the best, you know, and that's of them, and that's, you know, not on the continent. Then if you go onto the continent, of course, then the French are, you know, they think they're the best, like that, and they were the emperors at one time, and Napoleon, you know, and all this and that. But then the Germans will say, no, but we do this, and the Italians, no, but with Rome, you know, all roads led to Rome. And this, and wherever you go, each one will think they're the best. So that's the material consciousness, and that's why there is the variety. But if you're attached to it, then it the primary, or I'm the soul, doesn't come out as much. Mm-hmm. So one has to be very, very careful about this, that one doesn't get distracted by that kind of aspect, because then we see is that in the spiritual world, you have all this variety, but the oneness is there because it's all about Krishna. It's all centered on Krishna. So there's no difference of opinion there that about, you know, that the Lord, you know, Bhagavan, Vishnu is the supreme. So there's no difference of opinion there. It's just difference of taste, you know. While here on the material platform, it's not just taste, it has an attachment, right? And a material identity. There, that taste, yes, has an attachment that you have, a rati, but it's all for Krishna, it's for Krishna's pleasure. So there's never any disturbance, right? Does that work?
Yes, thank you, Maharaj. And I just thought it was interesting how you said that the others have a flavor of tattva. It seems that we study the most tattva. This Achintya Bhedavi tattva is the most complicated, but at the same time, we are supposed to get to where there is only rasa. To that,
no, rasa is the prominent, because the point is tattva is there. And so tattva is used as much as it supports the spontaneous rasa. You know what I'm saying? So it is a fine point. In other words, it's the finest. What Lord Chaitanya has given is the finest aspect of it, because others, Vaikuntha is very straightforward. Krishna is God, we're his servant, and that's the way it is. And so it's very easy, you know? And so it's natural, you know, he's the king, and so therefore, you know, when it's his time, his pleasure, then you go and see. And then when it's time, you know, it's, you know, either that after lunch or in the evening, then he's taking his nap and everybody goes, does something else. It's very formal like that. And then Dwarka will have some of that formality because, see, is there, it's godly and Kshatriyas. Mm-hmm. Dwarka, Mathura will be human Kshatriyas, right? But Vrindavan, then it's human and they're behaving like Vaishyas. So it's simple. It doesn't have the formality and everything. And so they have that thing. But at the same time, it's the most refined. So if an aspect is there, like you do have times where the gopis are in a pastime and they're all together, you know, Krishna and that during the daytime, and they're complaining about him, how he behaves. And he doesn't know, because sometimes it'd be too bold or too bold like that in dealing, and that, you know, that boyish kind of mood. And so they'll say he doesn't know how to deal with women. And it'll be like, what do you mean? I don't know how to deal with women. He's kind of thinking, so many women, you know, what do you mean? He says, well, look, you cut off Suparnika's nose. She was just interested in having a relationship with you, but you cut off her nose. So for them, he's Ramachandra. That's not a problem. But the point is they appreciate the taste. For them, they're attracted to the taste of serving him in his Swayam Rupa. It's Krishna in Vrindavan. But it's not that he's not Ramachandra. That. So you never see that the gopis have any problem with these, you know, very technical points of tattva. Well, you see with Nanda and Jashoda and that, if they find out he's God or he does godly stuff, they kind of freak out a bit. You know, because his parents, they're supposed to be, they're senior to their child, but actually their child is much greater. So they're praying to Narayana that Krishna will be protected. You know? And the cowherd boys, it's cool because they don't have any kind of the Vishramba. Means there's no kind of aspect of him being senior, right? Means they're all friends, they're all equal, so that he can do big things, then they will kind of consider that they can do those things also, but as he does them and they appreciate him. So that's the thing, is he does these things, they like seeing that, but they kind of think that they're all equal. So when the demon's been killed, it's like kind of all of them together it's happened, you know, like that, because they're all there and cheering him on. And you know, so it's just a different kind of mood. So he's pleasing the cowherd boys, you know, by, you know, very amazing ways, killing the demons. And they're all watching. And so, yes, it's just part of the thing you do. You know, it's just like, let's say you have a group of friends and one of them can stand on his toes or stand on his head, or someone else, if you're going for bathing, then he can hold his breath underwater for so long. You know, everybody has some specialties. Someone can throw a rock very exactly and hit things, or another one is very good at climbing a tree. So you don't mind all these things, but it's all part of the package of that group of friends. So it's got, since they're all equal, someone can climb the tree. It's like they all can climb the tree. Even though climbing the tree for getting something is hit, he does that. And if you're doing something underwater, this one does that. You know, or if someone can sing, he does that. You know, but it's part of, oh, it's just like you have one body like that. Can your feet do what your hands do? No, but you don't make it, it's one body. Does that make sense? So them as a group of friends, it's one group. You know, and Krishna will be you know, the center of attention and where all of their love is reposed. But the point is it's kind of like one body of friendship. Does that make sense? So but they don't think of it as godly. You know, so the tattva aspects that, yeah, it happens just like kids. That, you know, it's just like, let's say you have kids from an extremely rich family and they're riding around in fancy cars, staying in the best hotels. For them, it's just normal. It's not anything special. But it may be the platform on which all of their pastimes happen. But the point is, it's not special. The adults, they go, oh, yes, this is a good hotel and this is a good car. This is this. While the kids, it's just, that's normal.
Yes.
You know? Like that, you know, they prefer going in the rolls because, you know, if in the afternoon drives, because, you know, the video screen is better. And, you know, like that, they can put the seat back more. But if they're out for more on the road kind of drive, then they appreciate the Bentley one because, you know, it does a little bit better. And like that, it's designed more for that. And if, you know, they want to really go for it, you know, then, yeah, driving in the Ferrari is better. You know, so like that, it's just each one has its little flavor, but it's not that it means anything because it's just what they have, what they do. You know, they don't discriminate like that, you know. While those in the servitorship, then there's going to be that aspect, but it's natural. He's superior. So even if he does godly things, it's all right because he's superior anyway. He's the master. You know, and Shanta, then they don't have a problem. So you see, is most of the time you see Nandababa, he's the one that's freaking out, or Mother Jashoda, she sees universal form, she's freaking out. But the gopis is kind of like, yeah, so. You know, they're looking for Krishna in the forest, he's disappeared. And Krishna takes the form of four-armed Narayan, and he's standing there. And they come up and see him and offer respect and ask him if he's seen Krishna. So it's not like they get it all, oh, you know, yeah, you know, just like that. You know, and so then they continue on like that until Radharani comes, and when she comes, then he can't maintain the form, then he turns back into his own two-armed form. So you see is that the whole point is about these tattva is simply analyzing or documenting rasa. What goes on? Because in rasa, you're going to have the sambandha aspect, the abhideya, and the prayojana, right? So then the tattva is going to be talking more about the situation, the sambandha aspect, and then, you know, possibly, you know, technical points of abhideya and technical points of prayojana. But the rasa then will be talking about the mechanical and technical points of how the rasa moves and that, and what goes with what and everything, but based on the performance of bhakti, right? It means service. So it's just that one's going to be, does that make sense? Like that. So that's the thing, but they go together. That's why, like what you mentioned, is that we see is that when it comes down to tattva, the Gaudiya Acharyas, The what they write is so much more technical than anybody else writes. Others write technical. I mean, as far as the material world goes, they're the top. Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, and Vadiraj and others like that, then they're going to be the top scholars. But when it comes to the finer technical points, no one writes like the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, like that. Means even other, remember there one scholar. This was a scholar in the Sri Sampradaya, well respected. He was saying that their scholars read Jiva Goswami because his language is such, how he writes, it's just beyond their comprehension. So they're just so amazed. They read it because they were saying Ramanujacharya will write something and defeat the Mayavadis by his expose of what there's there, what they're having, the mistakes and all that. But he said you can, if you have a Mayavadi or someone who's a scholar who's very expert at word jugglery, they can take Ramanujacharya's things and adjust the words to give it other meanings, and then argue on that. And then, of course, if Ramanujacharya said, he'll come back and defeat them again from another angle. But he said why they like Jiva Goswami is because it doesn't matter what you do, how you try to move and adjust the words to mean that, it still comes out saying the same thing. So they're just amazed at his writing. That's why when Prabhupada says that he's the greatest scholar in the contemporary age doesn't mean right now. 500 means in the in this Kali Yuga, you're not going to see anybody else like that. And you're not going to see anybody else like that for the rest of this age. So the contemporary age means Kali Yuga, greatest scholar. So it's very, very, very special. So that's the point, is that that's why somehow or another, see, other sampradayas are generally more easily understood because you generally have a more seemingly elements of it are more similar, because even you get it to Nimbarka, who gets into the elements of this surrender to Radharani, that we're servants of Radharani and following in the mood of the gopis, right? Those are the two things that Lord Chaitanya took from Nimbarkacharya. But it's still, you're looking at it as it's one, or you can look at it, it's two. Radha and Krishna, then their love for each other, is so complete. They're like one. But they're two. So it's close, but you're looking at one or the other. You're not looking at both simultaneously. That's the uniqueness of the Gaudiya, is that that's going on simultaneously. In other words, they're looking at the oneness, so then that'll increase the bhav. But look at the difference, that'll increase the whole rasa. But that the two going on at once, that is because they're different, then they appreciate the oneness. Right? And because they're one, then that gives the flavor to the difference. It's going on at the same time, so it has a subtlety that's not there. That's why then how we do things, it's harder to tell. It's like you see Shris, they all do things in a very particular way. It's a very formal way. It makes sense. The Madhvas like that, they're comfortable working with the demigods because they see them all as potencies of the Lord, so there's only the Lord. Right, so it's just a jiva is taking that post. It's just like the person in the office gets his, he has power, but he gets the power from whoever runs the place. So it's not his power, right? Well, the Shris, because they came in earlier, looking at, they just avoid the demigods. They just don't deal with them, right? So Madhu could deal a little bit more there, so it has some other elements like that. But for them, it's just the aspect of worshiping Krishna, right? And then he's the deity, and the destruction of the Mayavada or impersonal philosophy. Those are the two things Lord Chaitanya took from the Madhva line, from Madhvacharya's preaching. So you can see that, the Vallabhas, then they basically, they have their nice, sweet, very simple kind of aspects. The Nimbarka, they have a bit more, at least on some of them, more renunciation and everything like that. But it's fairly straightforward. But for us, then it has a wider range what they can accommodate, because it's based on the mood. The mood makes it, it's either all right or it's not. Well, let's say you take, let's say the other, like the Shris, they're all going to be dressing the same, putting the same tilak, doing the same rituals, chanting the same mantras. So even if the mentality is not right, at least externally, it's correct and it doesn't disturb anybody else. So they don't have to worry about it. They don't have to think about it. So someone following that, they're okay. Someone not following that, that's a problem. Right? But with the Gaudiyas, then you're going to see, you have your Hari Nam and all that, and there's guys that are there in Karmi clothes, there's guys there in devotee clothes, there's guys there in half, like that, So you're going to have, it's like you have, what do you call it? Guys wearing, like brahmacharis wearing a dhoti, but they have on, a Karmi shirt, and then you're going to have, kind of people who are friendly, or it might be another devotee, but he's doing something else. So he has a kurta on, but he has pants, regular Karmi pants. Does that make sense? And they all got track shoes on, right? So, that's how you can tell that's the common point, right? So it's you're going to see all these different mixes and everything that's there. And if the mood is right, it doesn't matter. But if the mood's not right, now you have a problem. Because why they're doing that? What's their attachment? And so as long as they know that it's not ideal and there's an attachment, then they move forward. That's the point Krishna gives in Apichet Sutra Acharo. Means even though there's something not right, the anarthas are still there. But because you're rightly situated, because you're focused on pure devotion, that's your intent. Therefore, then what's going on that may not be correct, you move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So you got all, these guys with the beards and the piercings and the tattoos. Now, if they understand it's not exactly right, but they're attached to these things, but, they're going on and chanting and this and that, then being rightly situated, they get purified to the point where they don't care about these things. But if they think, no, it's okay and all that, we're not fanatic and all that, then it will go much slower. They'll develop much slower. So that's the thing for the Sankirtan movement. We can deal with a wider range of people. Like the Shris, the Madhvas, you see, they go very well in the Brahminical communities, and then they come down from there, but it doesn't necessarily go as broad. Like for us, we catch everybody, I mean, if Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur are bringing in Jagai and Madhai, you're not going to get anyone more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. That's it. There is no one more sinful. And so if they can join and be comfortable, then, anybody can. Is that okay?
Yes, yes, much. I just the last thing that it's this festival just described the last, this variety is very perplexing. And as you are a new person, you come and you try to understand, it's really difficult to understand. But as year go by, then that realization slowly comes of this.
Yeah. So that's why this overemphasis on we're Westerners, so, we're different. We don't have to follow all these, Indian things. Rather, they'll call them Indian rather than Vedic or Gaudiya or like that. Because if you call it Indian, India is a country, America is a country. And as far as country goes, countries are all equal, right? People are equal, countries are equal. So then it doesn't matter. But here it's a matter of, no, it's the intent. What's the intent of the American? You say we're Westerners. What's the intent of a Westerner? He's wearing his clothes and eating his food. What's his intent? He identifies with it. He thinks, I am this. Well, the devotee might be using those things, but he's not identifying with it. He's not thinking that. He thinks I'm a devotee. So this whole thing of it's Western or it's Indian, that's still on the bodily concept. It's still mundane. You know, we're the soul. And so you don't have an Indian soul or an American soul or a Russian soul, right? Like that, you only have souls, right? So that's the principle. And so this other doesn't come into it. Like, you're attached to that, then great, but don't consider that's a good position. So in other words, a guy with the long hair and this and that and all that kind of stuff, then he would be there, but he wouldn't necessarily be a temple officer, you know, or a leader. He wouldn't be a sannyasi, major preacher, or like that. He may be a community leader, but the point is that you know it's going to come up because it's got to come up. So then, as those who are able to live that more classic lifestyle, that sets a better example. But from that other position, you chant Hare Krishna, you take prasad, you associate devotees, you hear Bhagavatam. Worship the deity, you know, take part however you can, you know, respect, worship the Dham, you will advance. And then it'll come to a point at some point, then you're not attached. Because if you're still attached to these things, there's a problem. Right? Well, I'm using it for Krishna. Yes, that's the good part. That's where, you know, it's being used for Krishna. That's the yukta. But now we have to work on the vairagya. Because the point is, if it's your nature and it works good with that, you eat that. It's like you have that guy, he needs to eat 10 chapatis. If he doesn't eat 10 chapatis, he doesn't have the energy to do the kind of service that he can do. But if he's eating 10 chapatis because he's attached to 10 chapatis, that won't be as good as when he's eating 10 chapatis because then he can do his service nicely. You know, and then if Krishna arranges 10 chapatis, he gets. If Krishna only arranges 5, then hey, that's the way it is. You know, does that make sense? You know, and when he gets 15, he only eats 10. You know, 5, you know, sees that others get. You know, so that's the whole point, is that subtlety of intent is very important. So you're going to have your natural forms. That why we use those forms, because the acharyas use them, so out of respect for them. Because it's not that, you know, you have to use this cloth or that cloth. That will give you prema. No. But the point is this cloth is what the acharyas wore. It's what Srila Prabhupada wore. Why we wouldn't wear it? And just to say we're Westerners, then that's such a broad category. That's like saying we're living entities. Kind of like, yeah. Because when you say Westerners, there's like, I don't know if you have over on your side, but there are videos for Americans going to Europe or any other place in the world, and they're telling them what not to do. Because if an American acts like an American in Europe, in the Middle East, you know, in the Far East, or that, they always get into trouble and no one likes it. I don't know if you have videos of what not to do when you go, as a European, what not to do when you go to America. I would kind of doubt it. They would point out things that you have to watch out for. You know, you go to a restaurant there, you have to tip. Well, in Europe, you don't. It's already in the price. You know, in other words, in America, they don't pay the servers very well, but in Europe, they do. So you don't tip in Europe. But in America, they don't. They pay them the lowest possible. And they actually live off the tips because what they get from the restaurant isn't enough. So it's a whole different thing. But it's more of what to watch out for. It's not about behavior, because generally a European will always behave nicely no matter where he goes, because you just go a few hours, you're in another country with another culture and that, and you have to get along. So they've been doing this for thousands of years. Americans haven't been doing that for thousands of years, right? They don't get on with the Mexicans. They don't get on with the Canadians. They don't get on with American Indians. And the Germans and the English don't get on with each other. You know, so it's like, you know, it's just, they don't know how to do this. And there's so much space, you know, the whole of America. I don't know. You could probably fit, depending on what map you're looking at, Europe will fit into America. Some of the maps that they have, it makes it bigger, like the ones I've always used to. I always thought Europe was very big, but when you look at a globe, it's a peninsula. There's Asia, and then this bit sticks off. That's Europe. They talk about this big continent, and that no, it's small. And I think like Africa is huge. Like that, so and then most maps they kind of reduce Africa down and make Europe look bigger, like that, but actually it's the other way around. Africa is monstrous, like that. So whatever it is, there's all these different things, these perspectives and all that, but what we're interested in is what's the perspective of Krishna that's given to us by our acharyas. They do this, that's why we do it. Our acharyas follow Daiva Varnashram. That's why we do it. I mean, devotees are transcendental to Varnashram, just like the Brajbasis are transcendental to Varnashram, but they follow it. Otherwise, if they didn't follow it, would Mother Jashoda allow Krishna to go out and tend cows? No, her love for Krishna, she'd keep him at home 24 hours a day. But because they're Vaishyas and they have to tend cows, therefore Krishna goes out during the day. He goes out after breakfast and comes back in the evening. Otherwise, there'd be no cowherd boy pastimes. Because the occupation. Why would Krishna be going to Mathura? It's because they have to pay tax to the Kshatriyas. Why would Madhu Mangal be able to do what he does in the pastimes? Because he's a Brahmin. Therefore, even though he's a kid, he's a 10-year-old kid or 12-year-old kid, but the adults who are Vaishyas will listen to him. Because as a Brahmin, he's senior to them. So you have all these things, it's just part of the pastimes. So it's not that they need it. So this thing is, oh, we're not this body and we're not this, and we don't care for rules, and so we don't have to follow. It's kind of like we do what the acharyas do. So they've done this. So we try our best to do. That's why we do it. It's not that it will make it work by wearing, a kurta, then you'll develop prema, and if you wear a t-shirt, you won't. No, it's a matter of what you're using for Krishna, and like that. But so the acharyas in what they're doing, they wear like that. Like you see, Prabhupada would dress very nice and formally, when he's going to formal programs, he have his chadar on his shoulder, or be wearing it, like you see, especially the earlier days. He's wearing the chadar, he has his kurta, he has his lungi, like that, and his shoes, and he stands very nicely and everything like that. Like that, like you generally see, I don't know now, but at least before, Europeans generally tend to stand up a little bit more straight, especially if they're talking to you, they don't know you and stuff like that. Well, Americans, like this, they're really laid back. So Prabhupada is very formal, does everything like that. That's what we do, because that's the etiquette. So that's what we do. So that's why, so we follow what Prabhupada and the acharyas have given us. That's, coming from Shastra. That means that, and the Shastra is coming from Krishna. It says, the breathing of Krishna is the Shastra. So that's how we decide what we do. So this thing, oh, we're Westerners, we're different, we're unique, we're special, and all this is like, no, you're not. I mean, he said, America is a superpower now. Is it going to be after a few years? It's falling apart. And China, which has been falling apart for decades, or at least for the last, 100 and some odd years, is now becoming up and becoming powerful. So that's the whole thing. England was the biggest colonizer on the planet. They had the biggest empire of anybody, and but look at them now. They're just an island, and so that's the way it is. And it just shifts like that. It just moves. So whatever you had, in America, you had the Incas and the Aztecs and the Mayans, and they were. The Incas and others, the wealth they had was greater than Europe, right? What was Europe before, like the 16 or 1500s, late 1500s, early 1600s? It's technically called in history the Dark Ages. They had nothing, mud, cow dung, like that. Like that, something like that's what they had. But after going down to South America and Central America and bringing all the wealth from there, now they're the wealthy people. But before that, it was the Incas and the Aztecs and that. They were the wealthy people. Or they brought from India. The crown jewel, from what I understand, is it was before one jewel. And it was cut, and then it became the crown jewels, which I'm not sure how many there are, 9 or 11 or something like that. And they're really big. But it was one jewel. It used to be the nose, like the nose pin for Juggernaut, like that. So that's the point, is it's always moving. Iran had, when they the when they when the that new the present government took over. And all the wealth that the Shah had was amazing. But they had that was collected from one temple in India. Like that. And so like that, it's always changing. So this thing is, oh, we're Westerners, as if that's something special. No, it's just you're Western, use that for Krishna's service. Do something big for Krishna. You think you're big, do big. So it's like that. It's whatever it is you use, it doesn't matter. But the point is our standards is what's set by the Acharyas. Is that
Thank you very much. Thank
okay?
you.
Gurudas has to hand up.
Yes, Gurudas
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Jai.
Thank you. My question is, what is
Somehow or another, it's disappeared. I'm not hearing you.
do you hear
Now
me
we can
now?
hear. Yeah, now
Okay,
we can hear.
sorry. Can you hear me now?
We just heard
No.
a very dramatic, my question is, and then the sound went blank. And we were thinking, wow, this is such an elevated, again, it's disappeared.
Again, your voice is gone.
Again. Okay. I'll try to I'll try to read that question, but it seemed that it doesn't allow two screens at the same time. My question is what is the interaction of raga, rupa, and rasa in the formation of personality and the relationships? And is there any sequence, like when we, for instance, of their appearing and manifesting, as for instance, when we talk about Sambandha, Abideya, and Prayojana? So is there any principle?
You said raga, rupa, and what was the third?
Rasa, raga, rupa, and
Rasa.
rasa.
Okay. Means raga is the particular attachment you have.
Yeah.
Rupa will be that form, that you're attached to. And rasa will be the taste you experience from those other two, the combination, working with that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, in other words, you have raga is like that means we're talking about in the spiritual. Then you have the Stai Bhava, which is the fixed, what's always there, because other aspects are going to be adjust, we're going to be changing depending upon the environment that's around, right? Because Yoga Maya creates this unlimited variety. So then the particular Stai Bhava, the fixed attachment you have for Krishna, that always remains, and then it's expressed in unlimited variety of situations. Right? So the attachment you have, then like Mother Jashoda has that rati of attachment to Krishna in parental rasa. Right? That's her rati. So rati and raga would be the same kind of thing. So then Now, to express that, then the rupa, the form that she has, that form of Krishna's mother, that's going to be the best form to express that through. It's going to be the natural form. So it's the in other words, the form will follow the what's the intent, you know. In other words, what's that attachment? And then you know, just like parental rasa, Nanda Baba has, but it'll be as a father. So then it'll be that form, right? You know, the gopis, because of their attachment, the kanja, then they'll have their form. The coward boys, their form. Servants, their form, like this. And so then that'll be there. Then you're going to, that's going to be the fixed position. And then also in Rupa would also be the forms of Krishna that you're attached to. You know, so therefore, then, you know, for the, how you say, like for the parental Rasa, he's the most wonderful child. So he has that form. You know, for the friend, he'll have that form of the best friend. You know, it's just like when you see boys, when they're with boys and they're just on their own, they move differently. You know, the way they walk and do things and whack each other on the back, and the form of it, it has a particular form. So they have a form that matches Krishna's form and their interaction and everything like that. So now, because of seeing Krishna in that way or what he does, then they get the Anubhav. That'll create the Sattvika Bhavas and the Vyabhichari Bhavas, right? All the different transitory. All those five together, that's called Rasa. So your affection for Krishna, that, you know, and then the manifestation of some aspect of his, you know, action or personality or something that he does, that creates the Anubhav that you want to serve. It also creates the physical and mental ecstasies. That's called rasa. So then you could say in that way is that what do you say? What was the first one? Rati. Rati would be the basis. The rupa would be how you would express that. And then the rasa would be the experience of that. So you could say rati would be the sambandha, rupa would be the abhideya, and rasa would be the prayojana. Mm-hmm. Right, but there'll be some uniqueness, as pointed out by the acharyas. Then the reason that some they're given different names is because there's some element or some mix or some application that's unique to an already existing position, right? And so therefore, because there it's like sambandhas, what's the relationship? But within that relationship, you have a particular attraction to Krishna. Therefore, that attraction is called the rati. Right? And in abhideya, then you have a particular qualification. But that qualification being the form that matches what is your nature and all that, then that'll be rupa. But otherwise, we'll call it abhideya if we're talking in the generic. And then prayojana, you know, that love for Krishna, but that what is being, but what's being experienced. Does that make sense? It's what's being experienced. So rasa is being experienced. Right?
Yeah.
So like that. So that's why you see the formula is sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana, as Lord Chaitanya says, that is, the Shastra is only describing these three. There's no description of something else outside of that. But when they're going into the details of it, then you will see is that because of the specifics of what element it is within sambandha, it may have a different name. You know what I'm saying? Just like you have the car, you know, and it's the car. It means the whole thing. But I can also talk about the wheels. Right? But the wheels are part of the car. You take the wheels off, it's not really a car. But at the same time, is, you know, it's has a specific nature. So that, and of the wheels, I can talk about the tires. And on the tires, I can talk about the tread. You understand? So it's the same thing. But because it's bringing out a specific uniqueness, therefore there's different names. So that's why sometimes it appears to be confusing what they're talking about, that it's different things. But it's actually, all there is there's only one topic, and that's Krishna. Because Krishna is everything. So there's only one topic. Now it's which angle that you're taking within that topic, therefore you give it different names. You're looking at the philosophical things, we call it philosophy. You're looking at it, you know, the Shastra describing, and that'll be the, you know, the particular, the Veda. You know, we're talking about how Krishna creates, you know, how everything's set up. Then we may talk about, okay, the species of life or the different various situations. You know, it's like you have by the seaside, then you have the valleys, then you have the hills, then you have the mountains. And they're all quite different places. And actually the people that live in them are quite different. You see, if you have, you know, old places, it's not like where the big cities are. But people who live in valleys, they have one kind of mentality. They're generally more friendly and open and sharing and stuff like that. You know, like that. People in the mountains, then they tend to be more simple than those people. And they'll have, but it won't be quite as sophisticated. But at the same time, they have to be a little more careful because it's more dangerous up there. Like that. And the guys on the seas will be there, but you know, then they're dependent on the ocean and all that and that kind of thing. So they'll have another kind of mood. So you'll get all these different flavors that'll be there. And so that whole science of the psychology of all that, that, you know, all that's created by Krishna in the beginning in the creation. So Manu talks about that, and all these different things are made because all these make for the different natures. So even though they'll talk about, yes, this is where the diversity comes in, but the point is Krishna made it, not us. We may observe it because we observed it, we didn't create it. And because we observed it, we're not in control of it, right? The scientists, even though they may have observed some aspect of science, like electricity, they don't create electricity. They don't control electricity. They can work with electricity, but they still don't control it. You know, but the point is due to false ego, they think that because now they do it, we create the laws. No, because we worked it out. Now it's our law. No, it's God's law. It's there. Whether you're there or not, it's always been there. It's not that, you know, Tesla comes along and so now the laws change. No, it's just he was figuring out what goes on. Just like if you stick your finger in the socket there, your 220, it'll give you a big jolt and you'll go flying, right? And if I raise it more, it'll create even more. It can even make you unconscious. But he found that if you raise it up to like 5 million volt, it'll just travel over the top of your body. It won't even go inside. It just, you know, zips around and that and stuff. So he just played with it and saw what's there and stuff like that. So you generally see is the top scientists and all that that really were influential is they were a bit more God conscious and understood that we're just observing what's already existing. And the ones with the bigger egos and that think that we're the controllers of it. So that's the point is that just because there is this diversity, but the diversity comes from Krishna. Krishna raised it that way. And he created human beings. So human beings all have one trait, is that you can raise the consciousness. They worry about elevated elements of consciousness. The animals don't. Animals eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that's all that matters. There's not trying to elevate consciousness. Humans can do that. So therefore, that's the common point that all humans can work together on is the elevation of consciousness. And so then of the five levels of consciousness, then God consciousness is the supreme consciousness. So that's the one that can hold everyone together. Because otherwise on the mundane platform, someone's more into Artha, Dharma, Artha, Kama, or Moksha. So what's the common point for all four of them is the transcendental, it's bhakti. So that they can all do. And then the Jnani from his position can serve Krishna. The Karmi from his position can serve Krishna. You know, the person in the economic field or the social field and or in the skilled trades, and all, they can all serve Krishna, whatever their position. So that's the thing is, yes, there's the variety. That's why Krishna made variety, not us. They're pointing it out as if we're making everything one, and then they're pointing out the variety and all that. The variety is created by Krishna. But the one common element is that everybody is servant of the Lord. So all jivas can serve the Lord. And so that's the common point. And so how to do that, then the acharyas show how that's done.
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, did I get it right that when we you attribute that rupa, let's say if there is a raga, and because of raga, I can get in the material world a particular my body, my rupa.
Right.
But,
yes, yes.
But in the spiritual world, it is attributed to the form of God I'm attracted to.
Yes, rupa, but that gives you that. But that means Krishna is there. We are in a particular rasa, right?
Okay.
But Krishna is rasa. He's not, Krishna's not in a particular rasa. He is rasa. And he reciprocates with whichever rasa you interact with him in. So therefore then, because of your particular rati, that's why you get that form. The Brahma Samhita verse, I think it's 54 or something. Yam kama krodha sahaja pranayari piti vatsalya moha guru gaurava sevya bhavai. That, you know that verse? Brahma Samhita. So then that's saying that depending upon their particular attraction to Krishna, they get a form that matches that. So it's again, sambandhavidayam prayojana, but it means it's because of their particular attraction, they get that particular form that they can interact with Krishna and experience that rasa. But like you said, is that that rati is based on Krishna. It's an attraction to Krishna. So you have the attraction to Krishna, interacting in that, then you taste rasa. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, that's why there's distinction made between rati and rasa, because generally we'll take it as one thing. But rati means what's your particular attraction. Rasa means the experience you get in acting in that capacity. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say you want to go for a drive. So that's the rati, right? And so then you have to have the form for driving. You know, you have to have proper shoes for driving, you know, or this or that, depending on how much you're into it and all. And then, you know, your particular car in which it can be used. And then you're going to get the experience of driving. So wanting to go for a drive and experiencing the drive, though they're basically the same, they're still different components. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thank you.
So that's the whole point, is that's why Achinta Beta Beta talked about, they're simultaneously one, but they're different. Because they're different, that's why you get all the experiences. Because if it's just one thing, you just get one experience. But the variety of the experience, that's coming because of the of all the uniqueness that's there. So that's why in the Krishna's pastimes, they never repeat the same thing exactly again. Like Radharani, when she cooks for Krishna, then she cooks unlimited. I mean, she never cooks the same preparation twice. But so those who know, you know, the Indian cooking and all that, means you're creating so much variety off of the same techniques and spices and that, just how you, which one you do, what you emphasize, how you mix things and everything like that. That's how you get. It's very subtle. So the more you know the science, the subtler it gets. So it's not that, the variety means she never cooks the same thing twice. So she cooked Indian yesterday, so she's going to have to cook Italian today. Using that logic is how We're not Indians, we're Westerners. That philosophy says, you see, that she must be cooking pizza and pasta, otherwise she'll run out of recipes. Okay, even if you did, okay, she cooks Indian the first day, she cooks Italian the next day. Now what? She can't cook that again if they're being so gross. They're using this grossness to establish their thing. But on that same grossness, that means now in the third day, you can't cook Italian anymore. That's it, eternally. So now what? You know, okay, then French one day, okay, then Lebanese, then we're going to do, you know, Chinese, and then, you know, I mean, it's just like, and then after how many days have you run out of things to cook? So that's the difficulties there. There's no subtlety. It's so refined, so it's never exactly the same. There's always some other thing, and because Krishna is eternal, all these things are eternal. The experience is eternal. You don't need it to be there again because it's already been experienced. So we, let's say we eat something nice. We eat some sweet rice and it's nice and it's good, and we can think about it later how it was good, but the experience of it kind of like dwindles. But on the spiritual platform, you taste that and the happiness you gain from that, that lasts eternally. And then they put on top of that the next time they have something to eat. And then you have the interaction of Krishna and Mother Yashoda, and then Krishna and the cowherd boys that are eating with him at lunch, and then the gopis that are there watching and serving in that experience. And then, you know, then it's going to be, you know, how you say, that's Mother Yashoda and that in the morning. Then there's going to be the pastimes in the evening when he comes back. And cowherd boys, he has those there, but he's going to go out with them to the field and those variety. Sometimes they're running, you know, like I mentioned, sometimes they're running and chasing each other. Sometimes they're shouting into the wells. Sometimes they're playing and making faces at the monkeys, you know, dancing, playing their flutes or bugles. You know, it just goes on. But how you combine them all in finer, finer things, and you get unlimited variety. So that's the point, is there's always the principle of it. But there's always the variety of it. So the principle is the oneness, and the variety is the difference. So this one and difference, it's an eternal principle. That's why Prabhupada's using the term in his, you know, constitution of unity and diversity, because it's an eternal term. It's the principle in detail, primary and secondary. You know, and if you look at it philosophically, then you can discuss it like what we're discussing it. You want to look at it politically, then you can take it into a whole different thing, because you're not working with primary anymore. So they don't know the principle they're working on. They say unity, but what will hold all the different cultures of the world? What can hold them together? Right? It's never happened. Genghis Khan didn't do it. Right? Alexander the Great didn't do it. Right? Caesar did not do it. Napoleon didn't do it. Hitler didn't do it. Stalin didn't do it. Like that, you know, how you say, Franklin Delano Roosevelt in America, or Lincoln or Washington didn't do it. So who can do it? Where is the example? There isn't. That's the problem. But you see, is that with Krishna consciousness, that can hold. We have people from all over the place that normally wouldn't even know each other exists, and they're all working together and doing things like that. You don't have any other group of people like in our society on the planet. Never was, never will be. No one has the variety and backgrounds and that we have. Cultures and values, no one. Because it's the only thing that can hold together. So unity only means Krishna consciousness. It doesn't mean anything else. No political, spiritual, no economic or other social ideas or sense. Nothing will hold it all together, because everybody has a different idea. But spiritual, every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. That can be, you can hold them together. Every living entity has the right to devotional service. Right? But to do a particular occupation or be in a particular ashram, you have to have the qualification. It's not your right. But to be Krishna conscious, to be a devotee, that every living entity has the right for that. So that's the unity that can hold together that diversity. Otherwise, nothing else can. There isn't anything, because it's Krishna. Krishna is the one supreme, the Swayam Rupa, everything else in the cosmos is held together, centered around him. So it's right there. So it's you know, in the original, then you have the expansion. Is that okay?
Yes, Maharaj. Just one thing. Does it mean that here, like Sambandha Bidei Prayojana, when we reach Prayojana, then it starts again, Sambandha Bidei Prayojana? So it's different. So
when we
experience that rasa, so does it mean that it affects our raga?
Here it can, but in the spiritual world, all it will do is increase your raga.
Or increase, okay.
Yeah, it means the same thing. Mother Yashoda gets, here it can change. Why? Is because Mother Yashoda is never disappointed in her rasa with Krishna. And because everybody's centered on Krishna, no one disappoints anybody else in Praj. But in the material world, you have, you know, my friend, my this, my that. And at some point you get disappointed because you want to enjoy, they want to enjoy, everyone wants to enjoy. So then you start going the other way. Like someone's just telling me about, what do you call it? You heard about the MGTOW? MGTOW? It's something that started some years ago where it's kind of like, I'm not sure where it is, but that the men are getting, I think it's more in America, the men are getting so disappointed in relationships with women because the women are just not being feminine anymore, just being, you know, very much, you know, we can do it, we don't need men and this and that, and just harass, that they decide to be celibate. And they just do their jobs, maintain themselves, do whatever hobbies they like to do, and have nothing to do with women. And it's freaking the women out because, you know, where are the men? You know? So they're disappointed. So then they go that way. Or, you know, you thought, oh, great, you know, we'll go skiing and this and that. It'll be fabulous. And then you go down, you got perfect powder, you have this and that. And then there's a tree standing there, right? You know, I mean, it's, you know, he's been standing there for, you know, the last 50 years or more, you know, so you're the new one around here, but you're kind of, what's he doing? And then, you know, then you decide maybe skiing's not for me, you know? So then you try water skiing because there's no trees, right? You know, but then, you know, you know, something could happen. You end up in the water and that, and, you know, so, and as long as it's normal, okay. But then if a shark comes along, then you decide, okay, maybe I'll go for skateboarding, right? You know, so in other words, it has to be on something that's flat and long, then you keep moving, you know, but then like that. And so that's what you said, is so therefore the raga on the material platform, because of the raga that you have, therefore you adjust your body in this lifetime, but it defines your body next lifetime. So next lifetime's body is the body that matches the raga you have at the time of death.
Okay.
Right? And then you keep going. So it goes. And the particular rasa you attain, but because here it's perverted and distorted, it doesn't get what you quite, because it should give you happiness, right? It's supposed to give you ananda, but it only does if it's in relationship to Krishna. And here we call happiness is getting rid of the pain, but it never becomes positive. Positive is only when it's about pleasing Krishna, then it takes on the positive. So that same thing applied here makes for the samsara and the cycle of birth and death and you know, reincarnation, all that kind of stuff. So that's why we give up. We don't identify as this body. We identify as the soul. So as soon as they say we're Westerners, we're not, you know, we're not Indian, then right there, you're not working on the spiritual platform. It's straight mundane because we're the soul. We're not the body. Right. But the body has its nature. We use the body according to what it is. Right. Let's say you want to, you know, you're going to arranging, let's say, a festival, and you want to take a whole bunch of stuff, you know, or the whole family is all going on a trip, and everybody, and it's a long trip, so everyone's got so many bags and luggages. Are you going to take the Ferrari? No, we're not the Ferrari. but that doesn't change that you can't put any luggage in it. You know, you're most likely going to take the van because you can stick the maximum stuff in there and people can still sit even if it's on top of the luggage. You know, there's space. And so like that, you're going to go. So that's the point, is we're not the body, but the body still is the body. The body still is what it is. So it doesn't make sense from either the spiritual or the material platform by saying we're Westerners. It's kind of like, what does that mean? You know, it's like saying, we're earthlings. We can't do this. You know, that's Goloka Vrindavan. That's another planet, but we're earthlings. So we can't do all the things they do. You know, it's just, it doesn't make any sense. So that's the thing, is that the first point is on the raga, we're not the body, we're the soul. Therefore, attachment has to be to Krishna. We serve Krishna. So that's how we get rid of karma and jnana. That then makes it the rupa, that we can follow the form and everything that will work. And then the prayojana is to please Krishna. When Krishna is happy, in other words, he's pleased, then we'll be pleased. And all that will transform into love. So in other words, lust is what our natural inherent love for Krishna is turned into. And when we direct it at Krishna, it turns into love. And when you love Krishna, everything is part and parcel of him. You have no problem with anybody else. That's unity and diversity. But if you don't love Krishna, there's no unity.
That's is that not okay? Not a good still.
Oh, not a kritiki. Okay, well,
thank you,
Guruji, he was good? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, great. Yes. Now it's clear okay. to me.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Okay, Nadakriti G.
I just wanted to ask, who is Almo and the diamond there?
Ashwa.
Okay.
Aimo. Yeah, Ashwaji.
Yeah. So, yeah, I
so,
Googled.
So in other words, he's a jewel amongst mankind.
Yeah. Mystical jewel.
Yes.
I Googled a little bit and I found that what you said, this MGTOW.
W.
Yeah, it's man going their own way. Funny.
Means without the ladies.
No, they go with the lady, but not in a way that is defined by today's society that they try to put them in. So
yeah, so that's the problem. The women are going their own way, you know, and expecting the men to follow, and the men are going their way and couldn't care less. So yeah, it's a problem,
and it's a whole movement. They have even like a varnas, you know, four categories.
Oh, how really?
Yeah. That's just you stay with a woman, but under these conditions, or you are completely on your own and you go out of the society like a sannyas, you know, like kind
okay,
of.
Okay, so you have all the way up to sannyas. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and they are middle age heterosexual Americans or Europeans, you know, like this.
and
the main media, they hate them, you know. They say they're misogynist and this and that, you know, whatever. But. I was just thinking in a way that I just came back from the Simha Chaturdashi festival, and when you were speaking about the rasas, and I'm going there for already 30 years, and it's what is amazing, the festival always looks the same as far as procedures and rituals go, but every time is a different mood and a taste. Every time it's never the same. It's never the stale thing. It's always new in a way, you know, it's just, if you can comment on that. And then another thing, those who give lectures, they give almost the same lectures as 30 years ago on the Simhadev, like, you know, these lectures, like, I was on Sankirtan, and then some man came to me, and Narasimhadev protected me, and so on. So, and it's fun for the newcomers to hear this, but somehow for the I don't know, the guys like me, it was like when I hear these lectures.
Maybe, for the middle-aged heterosexual.
So when I hear these lectures, they are nice. I mean, it's okay. I understand that they have to inspire the newcomers, but they are the way that I can do something else at the same time. You know, I could be, you know, doing or drawing something or something. If you understand what I mean, it's just the lectures are always the same, the same, the same. And that is one of the things that Gaudiya Math and these Babajis, they go after us. And they say, you don't get deeper into the topics. You stay always on the surface and explaining the basic things. And I was always despising this as, what do they know? But at one point, it comes to me that I have a need to go, not, I don't want to say deeper, but to see things from a different perspectives, you know, from this angle, that angle, you know, in a different way. And that is what I think we are doing with you. I mean, you always give a fresh perspective. It's never the same thing on the same topic. But some others, they just go on speaking the same thing again and again and again. And it's nice, but, you know, how to deal with this? You know, their criticism of us going on the surface and not really going into it. I don't know how to deal with this and how to understand it. If you can,
okay, yeah,
if it's clear what I said, you know.
Yes. I think the essential point is that what is what one's thinking is what one's duty is. So in here is that they're thinking preaching. Generally, the difficulty comes is preaching means those who are new. So that's generally what, you know, what you were talking about. And so many can deal because it's, you know, like you said, it's fun. It's personal. You know, it's kind of a unique angle and stuff. And so the new people really catch it. And you know, and it works even for anybody. But like you said, after 30 years, the exact same story in that, you know, with no other angle, then, you know, starts to get, you know, you could do like, you know, the kids do, you know, the kids are coloring things and doing things in the class. So, you know, they do make adult coloring books, you know, very sophisticated mandalas and far out stuff. Yeah. So that's because they don't understand it because it's a bit above them. You know, and it's a bit below you, so you could just sit down there with the kids and get out your more far out coloring book, you know, and all that. And they're, wow, you know. So that's going to be the thing. Then you see with the as you mentioned, the certain other Gaudiya lineages, then they'll be using the technical terminology and get down into some elements of the more technical points of the that, you know, you could say someone who knows more knows, you know, but when they say going deeper, they just use the technical terms and connect those together. They don't go deeper than that.
Oh, yeah.
And the fun part is they criticize us for just talking on this level, these new people. But where's their new people? You know? Why do they have to take them from us? Are we going around and when Gaudiya Math's having a big program like a Vyas Puja, are we setting up programs outside and anybody walking by trying to attract them to ISKCON? No, absolutely not. So we're independent on going out and attracting people to Krishna consciousness. That we can do, they don't know how to do. And if any of them know how to do, there's a good chance if you check into the history, they, you know, at one time identified as a disciple of Srila Prabhupada or a disciple of a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. You know, generally speaking, the majority of them will be like that. They have a few that you know, are not, but otherwise. So that, but going to a depth of where you're going beyond karma and jnana and all this and that, they'll talk the talk. They know how to use the terminology. So that's the thing. They're more comfortable with the Gaudiya terminology and using the technical terms and, you know, examples and that. But otherwise, they say the same thing over and over again. Like that means if you've ever been in Mayapur where they come every year for Prabhupada's, you know, Disappearance Day Festival or any of the major festivals that we invite them to, then they give the same classes, you know, same terms and all that. So it's just more technical. So therefore, the one who has a little more technical interest, then they feel more comfortable, and the new person won't. That's why they can't get new people. We can get new people, but like that. But the point is you have to speak beyond that. What's good for the soul developing their relationship with Krishna? Because preaching doesn't just mean to new people. That Krishna makes that point at the end of the Gita, right? He says, of those who are teaching, which one is most dear? Right? The one who's teaching the devotees. So you're trying to get the devotees to move forward and all that. And then everybody can speak to the new people, you know, realization. But the main emphasis is on training devotees. So it has to go to that. So it's then both of them are not quite catching it. But at least than our devotees, at least they're able to catch the new people and engage them. They may not take them farther. But it's not that the Gaudiya Mat takes them any farther. They just teach them the technical terms and say that's deeper. But otherwise, it's not that they know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the point, is that how to use this in your life. That's the preaching. That's the teaching. Because that's the whole point. You hear, it clears doubts. Only when doubts are cleared, and it makes sense to you, can you try to apply it? Only when you apply it and analyze it will you understand it. Only when you regularly understand it, apply and understand, will you get realization. Right? And so once you come to that point of realization, now you try to make others like what you're on. You have realization. Your teaching is to bring them to the point of realization. That means you have to clear their doubts, show them how to apply it. You know, and show them, you know, how to better apply it and be regular at it till they get realization themselves. So then it's complete. So that's the actual cycle. It has those four levels. The fourth level is, now that you have realization, you bring others to the same level you're at. It means you make that attempt. Right? Is that
Yes, Maharaj, that's perfect. But then Babaji's come in the scene, you know. They say Prabhupada was great in clearing doubts.
Tell me the essence. Don't tell me what they say. I haven't gotten to the point where I don't get angry when I hear what they say.
Well, that this all applies, like clearing doubts, applying understanding, better application. And then they say at certain point, for even better application, you come to us.
Yeah, but the thing is what application are they giving that we're going to them for? See, they're only doing this to get followers. They're not that they care about these people. It means these guys have been, we have to remember, you know, remember the pastime with Prithu Maharaj and Indra stole the horse? Wasn't it Prithu?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he's chasing him. And then at one point, because he sees that Prithu is more powerful than him and can catch him, then he starts taking on the dress of a sannyasi and, you know, and this one and that one and all these, you know, bogus kind of, you know, sadhus. And Prabhupada, you know, in the purport, then Prabhupada's pointing out that this is the beginning of bogus Indian gurus. So how long ago was that pastime of Prithu Maharaj, right? You know, so it's you're talking, you know, even if it was in our cycle, you're still talking about millions of years ago. And there's a good chance it goes back even farther than that. So that means India has been, you know, perfecting the bogus guru for millions of years. So they're so good at it. I mean, they're so smooth. You know, like one guy, he was an ISKCON guy, always came around, but they was from a wealthy family, very wealthy family. But then they did a big program. They were silk merchants, and they did this huge program where they had like millions invested in the cloth. They were doing a big show, I think, in New York. And, you know, all other from all over the world, that, you know, people in fabric were coming, and something happened and the place caught on fire and burnt down. He lost all that investment. So then that puts them way back, right? And so then, you know, nobody cares. He's coming to ISKCON. Everybody's cool like that. But then once they start getting back on their feet and all that, and they have money again, then one day this Indian guru comes and knocks on the door. And this guy who's always been coming to ISKCON as long as I knew him, then opens the door. And I said, "Oh, who are you?" He says, "I have come." He says, "You know, why? You know, I say, you know, to teach you, you know, like that." He says, "And why now?" "Because before you were not ready." "Now, are you not hooked?" "Wow, this guy knows. He's clairvoyant. He knows everything. He's been watching me." He said, "Yeah, he's been watching to see how much money you got. And when you weren't ready, mean you didn't have any money, but now you got money. Now he's knocking on your door." But the way they say it, nobody knows. So these guys are just, they're just talking. Like that. They just say, "Oh, he doesn't get into that." And all they do is use some technical terms of rasa and just parrot things that are in the book and all that. And as you read the book a few times, you can talk all that stuff also.
Yeah. I'm just asking, not theoretically, because I have a number of devotees who joined at the same time as I did, and I knew them as very intelligent people and competent people. And now they are with either with Babaji's or Haridas Shastri, and I'm just
so not as
what is happening. You know, it's why is this going on? You know,
like what is the Shastra say?
Says, no, Haridas Shastri, the one from Vrindavan.
No. What I'm saying is the scriptures, they mention, can you get bhakti by scholarship?
No,
by austerity. Vows, celibacy, charity, study of the Vedas. So all these things are overrated. So when we say intelligent, but unless you use that intelligence for Krishna, it's a waste. So just because they're smart, that's why we see is that the scientists may have good mechanical intelligence, but it doesn't mean that they're not foolish. That's all it is that, in other words, they are intelligent, so they like something working at a particular level of intellectual interaction. So it just means these people are able to talk the Gaudiya philosophy in a technical way. And so they're attractive. They don't know that it's not going deeper. They don't know that they can't actually apply this in their life and do anything with it. Because that's the point. They're not intelligent enough for that, because that intelligence comes from Krishna. The other is just they have the karma to have that much intelligence. So they like that kind of, you know, it's just like music. You know, some guy likes classical music. Some guy likes, you know, metal. Some guy likes folk. Some guy likes jazz. Same seven notes, but it's just how it's put together. So these guys can talk all technical words, use all the Sanskrit terminology or all the Bengali terminology, you know, and there's a way they talk, you know, just like New Age, you know, the New Agers, you know, they talk and, you know, and so then you really, you know, like that or like that. So the Bengalis have a way they talk, you know, they can make, oh, yes, and so then, you know, and like this, they can do good storytellers and stuff like that. But as far as depth and all that, they don't have any real depth. It's just like if they're so on the off the bodily platform, you've been to Radhakund,
yeah,
right, you know, and inside Raghunath Das Goswami Samadhi, you know, had that kind of big kind of closed covered area right next to it, you know, kind of like it's in the temple before you go out to the kunda, and in there they when they do prasad serving, they put down, you know, these long rows and sit everybody down, right? But now when they do that, the Babas sit in one particular line. If you went and sat there, then you'd see how transcendental they are. If you went and just sat down with one of those, oh, they would freak. Right? You know, because they take it, we're Westerners. It's not that we're souls. That we're Westerners. We had a god brother. Remember another god brother was telling me, you know, this was back in the 70s. And those rooms in the Lotus Building, kind of, the big rooms that they could put like four beds in it or stuff like that. And so they were staying in there. One day he walked in and the other guy didn't know, and he had his hands, he put them up like this, and he was kind of leaning over and going like this and walking around like this and like that. And he saw him doing that and says, "What are you doing?" And he looked at him and said, "If only you knew." Right? So in other words, he had gone to Radha Kund, met one of the Babas, and how they, it's a dime a dozen, 25 paise or whatever it is, and you get your swaroop or whatever. So he's a peacock, because you have to understand, Westerners cannot be anything more. Only those born in the Brahmin families and this and that, they could be gopis and stuff like that. So he's a peacock. So you're as much, they look at you on the bodily platform that you're a Westerner as much as any other mundane person. There's no question. Haridas Shastri is, they're caste Goswamis. So because he's born in that family, that's his qualification. He may be a scholar. That's true. But the thing is, coming from their line, not even a leaf falls off a tree in Vrindavan. And you remember the other day, I'm telling you, the Goswamis are saying that sometimes in separation, all the leaves at once fall off of the trees when Krishna goes into Vrindavan, and then they just fall off. And then when Krishna comes out in the morning, they all grow back. And so these are supposed to be rasiks. No, they're just scholars. They may be scholarly in, just I think Rabindra Swarup Prabhu was telling that down at the university, because he's a professor, that they would be sitting at, professors from the university, karmis, would be sitting at the pub, right, drinking beer and discussing a technical point in grammar in Jiva Goswami Sandarbha. But they're not applying it. It's just interesting because it's intellectual, so that's all. But depth? No. So they can't connect things. They don't have depth in this and that. So all it is they have, it'd be like somebody has a bigger vocabulary and knows grammar better and explaining the same thing. So in other words, they're telling the same stories, that you were saying in what do you call that?
Chaturdashi.
Yeah, in the Chaturdasi, the same stories, just that they're telling it just in, colloquial language with not much Sanskrit. They're telling the same stories with all technical Sanskrit and the Shastric examples and that. But otherwise, it's the same thing. There's no more depth. That has to be understood. It's not there. People who don't know get distracted because they don't know. Because, like we said, they've been bogus gurus for millions of years. They're good at it. We're not so good at it. It's very obvious. Bhavananda does something wrong, or Bhagawan, or this. It's obvious because how long have they been a guru? Right? They started in 78 or 77, preliminary, and got booted out the door in 86. So, that's it. But these other guys, they've been doing it for a lot longer. They've been learning from, it's part of the culture.
That's this one, Haridas Shastri. Whoever comes to him from the West, he tells him he's a Shudra and he should go back to his country and find some work and work as a Shudra and make advancement from that. And then there is no hope for him to do anything better. Don't try to be,
No.
worship deities or whatever you do, just.
No, because that's all, because they're caste Goswamis. So the birth is the only thing they have other than birth, right? What is it? What is that line from, I think from Cream? If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all.
Just bad luck.
Right? So if it wasn't for their birth in a Brahmin family, they wouldn't have diddly squat. Nothing. Smart guys, clever, they wouldn't have anything. So that's the depth they have. Everybody's a Shudra. But why would he say they're a Shudra? They came from the West, they'd be a Chandala. So therefore, how did they become a Shudra? Shudra's human. Unless they're going on, okay, everybody's born a Shudra. like that, and then they fell down from there. But that means he was born a Shudra, and so it's only by association, by Savitri, he became a Brahmin. He wasn't a Brahmin from birth, but they take it, no, they're a Brahmin from birth. So it's cheating, that's all.
But then there is a question, Maharaj. Why would people go to these persons at all? You know, what is, I mean, without, there is some dissatisfaction, some frustration with yourself, oneself, or others, or society. Why would you seek the association, how to say, not, I want to say outside of ISKCON, but why would you go to that directions at all? Either
cheaters and cheated. That's all. Because you think you have something that you don't, because they tell you you have something on a particular. So now it's just like this. We tell them, yeah, it means at least if it's proper, that yeah, it means you stay in your position, you have a job, this, that, stay in it like that and engage yourself in Krishna service. But we're not telling you that being in that position is good. It's what you use. But he's telling you that's all you have. That's what you are. You can't do any better than that. It won't get any better. So then it looks more stable and everything to them. You know, like that. Well, us, it's like you're in that, but you're going to move forward. Well, when do I move forward? How much do I move? I've been chanting for so long. I don't have, you know, this and that.
Exactly.
So that's the whole point. Now, who's the Jiva Institute guy? How does he do so well? Because he's from India. And I know of, he's from, I'm not sure if he's from a Brahmin family, but at least a Kshatriya family. So he's going to do better.
He's from the Mathura region there, his family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm not sure if he's Brahmin or if he's Kshatriya. But, you know, it's been a long time. So then, you know, he'll do better. But that's the thing, is the caste Goswamis, is that they're born, they're already, you know, Brahmins. So they have to have these rules very strict. No one else can do, because if they could, they'd be out of a job. I mean, that's why in ISKCON, they're out of a job. They have to pull you out of ISKCON to have a job. Because in ISKCON, they're just another guy. You know?
Yeah. But they feel more comfortable when they tell you, you are low class, there is no hope you're getting up, you know, you're Mlecha and Yavana, take it easy, just don't move, you know, don't expect too much from yourself.
Yeah, and then you don't have to try too hard. I mean, for the devotee, then try for her, and for the person speaking that, then he's the big Brahmin and he's the advanced person by birth. Not that he is advanced.
No.
You know, a book this fat being written on how, you know, the fall of the Jiva or not fall or whatever it is like that. And it, other than a few quotes from the Acharyas that are being misunderstood, you know, that's the point. Scholarship, you can get so distracted. You know, like that. And they think that they're so righteous and that, you know, this is the make it or break it on whether ISKCON is the thing or the caste Goswamis are the thing or Gaudiya Mutt's the thing. When it's like, no, it's about go back to God. You're sick. Get healthy. No, but how did I get sick? This is the path to get healthy. Here's the medicine, the diet, and everything you do, you'll get healthy. No, but I want to, unless you can tell me how I got sick, how will this medicine, the medicine depends upon that? They told you what to eat, not to eat. So it doesn't matter what you ate or didn't eat before. It's what you're doing now that'll make you healthy. But they demand that, no, because of this, I can't understand. Unless I fell from the platform of Prema, how could I go back to Prema? And this, and they just like this, and that becomes their whole life. It's kind of like, you know, no. Just from the position you're in, try to serve Krishna according to what the Acharyas say. You know? And the whole point is that guy goes back to America, gets his job, and that's all the better he can do, but he's surrendered to, you know, our Mr. Shastri. Is there any money coming from that guy to Mr. Shastri on a regular basis?
No, he's a taxi driver, which some are. I know Pujari from German Farm, the great Prabhupada disciple, is a taxi driver in Munich now, which is so sad, you know.
And that's the thing. And then later on, maybe they'll figure it out. And if not, hopefully next life they can continue. But so it's like that. And then they're saying we're the ones that don't take it deeper. They've taken a guy from a head pujari to a taxi driver. And then they're the ones that are taking people deeper. Deeper into what? Material existence? Oh, you guys are just superficially on top of the material existence. You have to go deep into material existence. You know, it's like, yeah.
And these both parties are opposed not only to ISKCON Prabhupada, but to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
Of course, the caste Goswamis. And if you poke them, even Bhakti Vinod Thakur. In other words, before Bhakti Vinod Thakur, they're cool. You know? So Jagannath Das Babaji, Vishwanath, they'll go back to like Vishwanath. They won't care so much for Jagannath. But in other words, they caste Goswamis. So for them, it's just, you know, things that the Goswamis up to, you know, Baladev and like that they agree with. But otherwise, they're totally against. It means, I don't know, there was a podcast that came out where they invited one of the Vrindavan caste Goswamis onto the podcast. And then they very subtly and seemingly in pleasant language, it's just like if I said, yeah, you know, this guy is he's a really nice guy, you know, but, you know, sometimes he makes mistakes. But, you know, everybody makes mistakes, so it's not a big problem. But, you know, that's like this. And so, but you have to get to the point, not make mistakes, but since he's making mistakes, but then we look over here. And so they just know how to take you away from our acharyas to this, like that. So they point out that Bhaktivinoda Thakur and this one and that one, you know, there's certain points, because it doesn't agree with their caste Goswami philosophy, that they're born as Brahmins and therefore that's what makes them advance. You know? So anybody who's against that, so especially Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so as soon as you see that they're talking against them, then that's the whole point. And so where is the depth? Where's the termination? So here it is, it's everyone. Now, he's been cheated. Okay? And he's not had that faith in guru and that, you know, faith in cheaters, that's not real substance. Okay. Now let's say next life, he again gets an opportunity to come in contact with Krishna consciousness. Will he have that determination to be fixed at the lotus feet of guru? No, he didn't do it this life. He doesn't have it next life. If by somehow another good association develops it, then great. But if not, then if he's not careful, then again, how many lifetimes that can go on for? So you have to understand this when it's talking about these things, because that's the fun part. It's like Gaudiya Math will bash Prabhupada and this and that and tell ISKCON devotees to come to their mat. But if you tell them, why don't you come and join our mat? You can do more. Oh, no, but it's my guru's mission and this and that. Downright just cheaters. They're telling you to leave your guru and come work for them, but they won't leave their guru. So therefore, then the point is, don't leave anybody's guru. Everybody does their service. If they can cooperate on some levels, great. But that's the point, is that there has to be that connection, that loyalty. Because when you're dealing in Braj, you know, in Vaikuntha, okay, everybody's there. It's all about Narayana and it all works and Haribol. But in Braj, you're in a particular group. You work with very particular people. And if you're not loyal, they don't trust you. And that's from Raghvartma Chanduka. Is that the Braj Basis won't trust anybody who is not fixed at the lotus feet of their spiritual master. Because then if you can change your allegiance, what will keep you from changing your allegiance in Vrindavan?
Yeah.
So they don't trust you. So then these guys are all talking Rag Bhakti and this and that. Not even a little toe will be stepped into Braj. Because they don't have that. It's party politics. It's not pure devotion.
Oh, thank you.
It's sad. But that's the point, is our devotees are supposed to preach. That's the leadership supposed to do, is preach and then train people and they move up. Prabhupada's expecting the temples to be education centers. It's not new bhakta programs. New bhakta program is part of what you have in the temple. But once they've gone through the bhakta program, now they should be educated all the way on through. You know, as far as they can go. They can go up to Bhakti Sarvabhauma. That's how far they should be going. That's what it's for. And they're using the classes should have that depth. Prabhupada never just spoke to new people. In fact, what he spoke to new people was advanced stuff. He just said it very simply and clearly. That's all. But it's the same thing. That what you can tell the karmis is the same thing as what you tell the devotees. But the depth of what you're telling is what's important. You know? That's all. So that's what's important. Is that okay?
Yes. Thank you. Jai.
Okay. Mangalvati Matadhi.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Please accept my humble licenses. I just have a simple question. What would be like deep? What is really deep subject matter?
Deep means that you can understand how to apply something in your life, in your position. Mm. That's deep.
Mm.
It's not that talking about Krishna and the gopis is deep. It's just like, let's say we got together a whole bunch of 8-year-old kids or 6-year-old kids. And we started reading to them some adult novel, you know, about men and women. Does it mean anything to them?
No, absolutely not.
No. And even if they can't do anything with it. So until those kids become teenagers, then it means something to them and then they could do something with it. So until you come to a particular level of advancement, it won't have any meaning. You hear the story like Prabhupada explains in Krishna book, and you're attracted to Krishna and his pastimes with the residents of Vrindavan, you know? And so that aspect is there. It's because, in other words, what you're trying to see is the pure unalloyed devotion of the Brajbasis. That's what you're supposed to see. But they'll talk about technical details about what Radha and Krishna did or said or like that. But the point is so nice. But now, what are you applying in your life? Oh, just remember Krishna all the time. How? Oh, just do it, you know. But how? So that's the point, is how to apply. That's why Rupa Goswami is the leading acharya, because it's Abhideya. How to apply that into your life? How in your position to take what you have and use it for Krishna? How to see what you can do for Krishna and how to see that free from karma and beyond, just for Krishna's pleasure? That's deep. Because deep can only be how deep you are. It's not if I do something deeper. It's just like, if you can't swim, is it going to improve your swimming by me throwing you into the deep end of the pool? You start off at the shallow end.
Hmm.
You know, and then you go deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
You know, or diving, you know how you learn to dive, you stand on the side and you put your hands like this and then you kind of lean forward and like that. So mm-hmm. Now what if we take you up on the 10-meter board and then say, okay, now just put your hands like this and lean forward.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just wherever you're at, that's where you're supposed, that's the depth. Because if it's shallower than that, it won't work. If it's deeper than that, it won't work. It has to be where you are. So that's the whole point. It's about the individual. And so then you're speaking about pure Krishna consciousness. Then everybody from, and you're showing them how to analyze it, use it. Then everybody can use it at their position. That's the point.
Mm. Thank you, Maharaj. I had another question, but I don't know if there's time now. Otherwise, we can leave it for next time.
Yeah, what time is it? Well, it's 2:00.
I think we have.
Yeah, no, it's overtime. I think
it's overtime. Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāi.